Hey, look at this. A longer version of the Mincing Rascals. It's like we've got a bonus track this week, one we'll explain later on. This is John Williams. Thanks for listening, and thanks for writing in. We're getting your emails to johnwilliams@wgnradio.com, and I meant to bring them up with the gang this week. We didn't. We will discuss them and what you write to us this week on our podcast next week. If you'd like to comment, complain, or correct, again, just email johnwilliams@wgnradio.com. And tell your friends about us, too. Give us a good rating or advertise here. We've got an ever-growing audience. This week, the Rascals start in Trumpland, go to Wrigley Field, among other places, and at the end, even take you to velodromes of the 1890s. Wait, what? Today is Thursday. It's July 18th, 2019. It's 11:14 in the morning. Hi, this is John Williams, and we're the Mincing Rascals, a podcast we record at the studios at WGN Radio in Chicago. The podcast judged by the Illinois Broadcasters Association to be the best in the state, I might add. You can hear me weekdays from 1 to 3, Steve Bertrand.
The host of the Business Lunch on WGN.
I'm Mark Baser. I'm the host of the interview show on WTTW, and we have a podcast, which you can find on the podcast places.
What's it called?
The Interview Show.
The Interview Show is, what a coincidence. Yeah. How lucky for you.
Yeah, it's easy for him to remember. I am Eric Zorn. I am the son of an immigrant, and I'm not going anywhere. I write a column for the Tribune.
Okay, there were protests this week at a gas station in Naperville. We'll start there. A Hispanic woman and her family wanted to buy some snacks when the attendant challenged their citizenship. Indira Buitron, Bitron, says, and the video supports this, that the clerk said they need to go back to their country and that ICE will come and get them.
I'm an American.
And?
It's illegal.
It's not illegal.
It is. Are you a citizen?
Yes.
They need to go back to their country.
You don't care.
While the clerk's been suspended from his job, the president rallied with supporters in North Carolina last night and at one point stood in approval as the crowd chanted, "Send her back," after attacking Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Major Garrett at CBS said before the rally that the president's looking for a replacement for Hillary. Eric, it looks like he's found four.
Yeah, it does. I think the squad is sitting in now instead of whoever the Democratic candidate is going to be for president. So the four women are going to be his foil until he gets a candidate to run against. I thought last night's segment on his speech was one of the uglier things that I've seen, one of the more frightening things I've heard. The lock her up was about, you know, a crazy conspiracy theory about Hillary Clinton, but send her back, speaking about an American citizen who is a member of Congress, is just one of the uglier moments that I've seen. And the way Trump, rather than saying like, no, let's send her back to private life, let's, you know, politically, he just basked in that.
Right, he loves it.
And I just thought, this is his strategy for re-election. He's going to realize that there are a lot of people in this country who are afraid of the fact that we are diversifying rapidly, and that he is going to try to harness those fears, those anxieties, to win re-election. I think he's made it very clear.
I don't know what else there is to say.
It's come to this, hasn't it?
I mean, it's awful.
I'm sitting here dumbstruck, too. It's like, what do you say about this guy who is clearly a racist, who foments racism in this country and thinks he's going to profit from it?
You know,
because that's where we are.
Can I say one personal thing that's on topic, but a little bit divergent, which is one of the things, I'm Jewish, and one of the things that Trump keeps doing in his tweets and in some of his speeches is he mentions that this squad is anti-Semitic or that they're against Israel. And there have been things that Oman in particular have said that concerns me a little bit, but nothing offends me in this more personally than Trump's, I feel, using of the Jews in this. A people who, like Irish people, like Italian people, were once the people that other people were saying, that probably Trump's father was probably saying to send back. And So if there's one thing I can add other than to what Eric said, that this is one of the uglier things that we've heard, it's feeling the sense of being used in a really dirty way.
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu is considering banning two of them from coming to his country to do a tour. They were supposed to go on a fact-finding, and two of the four.
The basis for this feeling is that these women, I'm not sure all of them, but certainly some of them have questioned the level of support, financial support that we have for Israel, and also the rights of the Palestinian people. I mean, this is a certainly a legitimate debate, and to say that someone who has taken a side on this is anti-Semitic, first of all, I think a lot of American Jews would not agree with that. I mean, there are a lot of American Jews who are concerned about the way Israel treats the Palestinians and who are not comfortable with the level of support that we offer for
Israel. I'm surprised at his conflation. I was a little confused, to be honest with you, that he kept throwing Israel in this bag of criticisms of these ladies. I get where it comes from, but I don't think those people in North Carolina last night are wrapped up in that issue.
No, it's weird.
And I'll go one step further. I'm not even sure that to say I don't like this country, as Michelle Obama once did or sort of intimated, I don't think that's anti-American. To say that I don't like this president, I don't think is anti-American. Maybe you should choose your words more wisely, but I don't even understand why that is a reason why you have to go back.
The president got elected by saying the country was a dump, right? Yeah.
Make it great again because it isn't great.
At his inaugural speech, he talked about the American carnage. So, his rhetoric is no worse.
Well,
than,
he's here to fix it, Steve.
Well, and he's also a first generation American, is he not? I mean, I think his mom came from Scotland.
Don't ask him where his dad's from. Well, so he'll get a lot of different answers.
He is them. He is they. And what's correct
well, and
there?
His wife. Someone on Twitter said, "I hope the next time we see Trump and Melania together, that they start chanting them, send her back."
But it's closer than that because Trump has been ripping on in America and its conditions and all of that.
Yeah,
he is a first generation immigrant or American, just as these congresswomen are. Three of the four.
One of the central ethos is I was brought up with about America was that we're always trying to, reach that city on a hill. We're always trying to challenge to make ourselves better. And it seems very ugly that the only people who can do that are people who are born here, notwithstanding the fact that three of the four in the squad were born here.
Right.
The other thing is that America is obviously it's a deeply flawed place. I mean, it's got wonderful things about it, but it's a deeply flawed place. We have a lot of problems with, we can't give health care to all of our people. There's all kinds of issues you can have with this country while still not wanting to leave it. You want to improve it. That's why they're in Congress. You want to make things better.
We're human beings. Every country, right? Every yes, country can be made right. better or has problems with it.
Yeah, which is why this unreflective patriotism that he's now trying to call on is silly. I mean, I think you need to say that these women, whether you agree with them politically or not, they have a political vision. They are trying to enact it. They believe it's going to make the country a better place.
When this happened over the weekend, the tweets were really the genesis of this, right? And then we came on the air on Monday. And Steve, you'll recall, I wasn't as animated about it as I became on Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday, I said, and I still feel a little bit
wanted
surprised.
To smack you around a little
bit. I know. Trust me. I think my wife directed a little hostility at me afterwards. And I believe the source of it may have been this without actually saying this. I didn't see this for the watershed moment that maybe it is. I thought this is another callous, stupid thing Trump said or tweeted. And I didn't think this was going to have legs for 5 days now, but evidently it does. And I'm asking you guys maybe to just belabor the obvious for just one more moment. Why is this so much different than the other things he said or done?
It's racist. It's clearly racist.
Hillary Clinton
said bad things about him for about 18 months, and he never said she should go back to where she came from. Never.
Well,
these four women are women of color, and he says that they should go back to where they came
Park
from.
Park Ridge?
Yeah. Go back to the leafy streets
there
of Park Ridge.
There are problems in Park Ridge. Go home and fix those.
I guess so. So racism trumps all, right? So that's worse than sexism. That's worse than ugly language. That's worse than lying. I'm not a defender of racism. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
I have some of the same questions that you do about this, John, which is like, because you look back at the history, and every time he says something like this, you get the video montage of all the terrible things that he said over the years.
Used to do brackets, Eric. I don't know if this would win its regional.
Trump's outrage brackets?
Yeah, we did.
No, to me, it really speaks to the fact that we are continuing to look for more evidence about Trump and that it just keeps piling up. And again, you look back at the last couple of years and it's like this ought not to have have made such a ripple because it's so common.
There's so much of it. Look, a woman just a few weeks ago publicly declared that Donald Trump raped her.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't even know her name. Right?
We do, but yes, she's yesterday's news.
She revealed her name, but I've forgotten it. And this is something that would have consumed any other administration in the world.
And she was a columnist.
It's gone.
If that's the one we're talking about. But there's even a conversation right now about whether or not the word racist should be used in describing the president's words. I was talking about this with my producer this week, Ashley, who's filling in for Elif, and I said, you notice that CNN says the president's racist comments. I don't personally disagree with that. You know how I feel about this, but I also think that's a judgment that not all of the country shares. They don't put them in quotes. They don't say somebody else says they're racist. The president denies they're racist. When does a comment become patently that? I'm not making this conversation up.
Well, I think, and I don't fully understand this, but I was hearing an essay on this morning, and there's we need to figure out a way to divide the adjective racist with the noun racist. Okay, so because when we say Donald Trump is a racist, we think, well, this man's damned to hell, everything about him is bad. But you can do racist things and not necessarily be, well, you would be a racist, I think, but it wouldn't
no,
be,
I get
wouldn't
your point.
How
threading a fine needle there.
A word can fly out of your mouth or a phrase that
which
you regret.
Which would be a racist comment.
Which would be a racist comment, but does that color everything about you?
And all I'm saying is that we need to be mature enough to say that what you just said was racist without saying you are a racist.
Well, either way, if you are a news reporter, if you're doing a newscast, if you're writing a news story, you're writing a headline on a news story, I think that accusation belongs in quotes. It turns out that about a third of the country doesn't think it's racist, according to like some of the snap polls that
he didn't use the N-word.
Do you say so-called global or climate change?
If
30% of the country doesn't believe that.
No, I don't think it's 30%.
Okay, I'll give you 18.
But
Steve just made a good point.
Where do you draw the line on this? Because there are flat earthers. I mean, you can't say the so-called globe, But I think when you're talking about something that is actually, there's actually a legitimate, not legitimate, I'm saying, I don't want to characterize the debate. I'm saying it is a debate. It is a divide in this country. And if you're a radio host and you want to call it racist, God bless you, because it is. If I'm a columnist, I'm going to call it racist. If I'm on social media, I'm going to call it racist. But I'm not comfortable for news stories and news headlines using that term, because I sort of imagine, what if they start saying, like, one of the accusations against the squad is that they're communists? What if news stories just started saying, oh, they're communists, and just calling them communists?
Well,
because some people believe that.
So I'm the only guy in the room who writes news stories and does newscasts, right?
Yes.
And I did call it, I did refer to them as racist statements, because I think they are. And when I say I think they are, it's not my opinion. I think they demonstrably are racist statements. Now, if Omar, Congresswoman Omar, was a member of the Communist Party or espoused communism, then I would call her a communist too. She hasn't done that. Those have only been accusations against her. I think I consider that tweet storm to be racist.
I consider it that way too, but it's not. He's not a member of the Klan. He's not.
I didn't say he was a racist. I said his racist statements.
But you could say something that's racist, and it could be different than every other thing you've said in your life, and somebody would say, well, that was racist, but you're not a racist. I think Trump is, in my view, proven beyond a...
Well, but that's beside the point. That's not even what this conversation is about. The conversation is, were those statements racist? So whether he is or not is almost beside the point here. We're debating whether or not those words should be in quotes.
Here's my question for Eric, who spent, is not writing news stories now, but has spent plenty of time in newsrooms. At some level, don't you defer to the editorial judgment of the editor, the reporters, editors? Like, there is we're entrusting you at the Chicago Tribune as a staff to use your judgment in determining some of these things. It doesn't mean, again, to Steve's point, you're not stating an opinion. You're saying based on the history, based on the precedent of what these things says, what other people have said similar to that, the coded language of send people back, we as a collective unit, an editorial a staff can decide that this is indeed racist, and it moves beyond just being opinion to your judgment.
The question is, what is there more value in doing that, or is there more value in trying to preserve this effort at objectivity to say that when, if you, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, no matter where you are on this debate, you can read this news story and agree that, that the facts are presented in a neutral way.
What was in the Tribune headlines?
And I hear that, and that makes
both. We've done both.
It's a difficult issue, and
it's a very difficult.
That
issue.
Makes sense. The question, as with everything, is at what point along the line do you change? Like,
right.
So if he said if. Let's say Trump, and he didn't say this, so I'm making that clear. But let's say if Trump flat out said, these people are inferior because of their race, would at that point the Tribune, or would you advocate that a paper then use the word racist? And where do we get? When do we get to that point?
That's a good question.
Oh, come on, that's an easy one. Yes.
Well, I'm saying his broad question is where do we, I mean, Mark's hypothetical is a pretty easy one, but the broader question of where is it along that line? I mean, what Trump said,
he did drive down a street in Chicago and say only black people could live like this.
I mean, I really don't want to be sticking up for this guy at all. But what I'm saying is that what he did say about these people is that they should go back to the countries where they came from, which is bizarre because three of them were born here.
And therein lies the racism of the statement. That was the racist component of the statement.
So, I'm feeling a little. I'm not defensive, but I mean, if I see someone coming up in a car, I'm confident to saying the subject drove up in a car. It's a fact. So, can the description of racist, can it ever be absolutely applied? If I did think about this, I really thought long and hard before I termed it in that way. But if I were to keep saying a term that many people think are racist, or a term that many say are racist, the implication is that the good people also think it's not. You know, it's giving cover to people who are saying, well, he's not a racist. It was a racist statement.
It's and when, too so nuanced when you, and
you hear,
to see so,
when
it.
You hear say, well, many people think, what you're also saying is that, hey, a lot of people think it wasn't racist. Well,
a lot of people do think it wasn't racist,
which wrong.
Is part of, I know they're wrong, but it's kind of appalling. But you look at the polls, it was something like 63% thought that it was racially inflammatory, whatever. And it's like, how could you not? How could you not see that?
I just want to insert this. We have five Illinois Republican congressmen. All of them voted no to condemn the president. All of them publicly stated, though, that they thought that those were, they didn't use the word reprehensible, but they condemned the president's words in print or on Twitter. When it came to a vote, they did not vote. Somebody texted me this week and said, John, you've never heard of party line votes? I have. But I think you could survive as a Republican voting yes on this. And they didn't. Not a one of them.
I understand.
I'm the only
that.
Person in America that is surprised by that.
No, there's a lot in the media. The cable news are making huge deals of this. The Democrats presented this vote in order to put the Republicans in this position. I mean, this was a political. It's a political move on their part.
You keep saying
too.
That it's such an easy fix, Steve. So you're in that pickle. You're a Republican congressman. How hard is it to say yes? I condemn that tweet. And I'll bet you that person gets reelected.
Well, I think it was also done to show solidarity after the week of infighting between Pelosi.
Right. Everybody voted.
What do you guys think? I think if you're a lawmaker, I think I'm okay with them coming out and publicly condemning the statement, but then saying I'm not going to be drawn into this official critique on the floor of the House. What was it? Was it a? It wasn't a censure vote. Well, I don't know what the.
It was a condemnation.
Condemnation.
Well, you know, this is another situation where I would ask people to look at it the other way. What if when the Republicans had control of Congress, they were always bringing up, you know, movements to censure, you know, Barack Obama's pastor or something like that, you know, and they're just like, they're clearly just trying to make political hay out of it. At some point, do you say, like, okay, look, I don't agree with goddamn America or whatever it was that the...
Yeah, he said that too.
I don't agree with that, but I am not going to dance every time you shake the rag over my head.
It's funny, Eric. Both topics that you've brought up, I think, speak to the current moment in which the definition of reality is so up in the air. Like, whose reality are we talking about? So it used to, you could say, and I think both parties could say, this here was beyond the pale. But now, to your point, you could say, well, AOC is a communist. And there's going to be a whole portion of people who just go, yeah, believe it. And it gets even worse. I mean, you get into real conspiracy theories, too, where people say Pizzagate's real. And that becomes people's reality. And it's an unfortunate time. It's an unfortunate time in which what is truth and what is facts, and that is now up for grabs in a way that, frankly, it shouldn't be.
So you think the Democrats played this well by having this vote? I mean, I think that they probably did. I think you do have in some of these swing districts. You now have an issue for the campaign. Someone says, like, running against a guy. This guy refused to condemn these awful tweets by President Trump. He's so in the bag for President Trump that he won't even condemn these horrible things that he said.
But it doesn't hurt his numbers amongst his supporters.
No, but it helps the Democrats make a national case.
Someone made the case here just a minute ago that this came at a very odd time because the Democrats were... there's a schism that had opened up between the squad and Nancy Pelosi, and it looked like there was going to be this division going forward, and Trump just walked right into that, and now all of a sudden the Democrats are unified.
Do we all agree that at least the media, that maybe the president's playing the media this way? Those four congresswomen have not been in Congress that long. They are one of 535 votes or whatever it is in the Congress.
435.
Plus 100 senators in the Congress. It's amazing to me how much we are empowering them, right? I mean, or letting the media paint them as the voices of the Democratic Party. I think this is where the president is having his way. They are four votes in the Congress. That's all. They haven't authored significant legislation. They really haven't done anything yet. So much of their politics is personal. It's amazing to me how
what do you
time
mean
and
their
attention
is personal?
I mean a lot, but because this is an outrage that the president would say that about those four ladies. Many of the conversations about Ocasio-Cortez are about Ocasio-Cortez. Fox News is instrumental in that too. But
yeah, that speaks to their obsession with her.
But it seems to
be
working.
I don't think she's
trying
to pass legislation to like make her life, her personal life. I mean, I would put faith that she believes in what she's doing for altruistic reasons.
You would think that the views of those ladies represent the views of all the people of the United States. They represent the views of the people in their district. I love the fact that the Congress is starting to look and sound more like America, not just a bunch of white men.
I think that their individual celebrity is out of whack.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But there are more than four of them. There is a growing, pretty far left wing of the Democratic Party in the House, and Pelosi does have real issues with them, and there was this impeachment vote that was forced on the floor yesterday was from one of that crowd. So I mean, I think there is an issue there. Yeah.
I want to change subjects and completely change subjects. This is the summer of nicknames. Alligator Bob, Hunted Chance the Snapper. We have the squad we've been talking about, and now my tie guy. What's the matter?
Well, sorry to derail again, but I think we should resist the squad because if we start calling these four the squad,
they've used it themselves.
I don't care. That doesn't make it right. It starts to cartoonize them.
I think you're right about that.
Compartmentalize them.
The first time I heard it, I thought that's a pejorative used by the right to characterize them as some sort of evil or anti-American squad. It sounds bad.
Well, even if they're superheroes, I don't care. It animates them in a way that I think we shouldn't do.
I didn't make it up. There's also Mai Tai Guy.
Hold it there. I don't want people calling him Mai Tai Guy.
Well, he's the fan at Wrigley Field that had that on the back of his Cubs jersey. He wrangled Kyle Schwarber's walk-off home run ball from a little boy.
High drive to left. Is it enough? Cubs win! Kyle Schwarber in the 10th.
Now, Mai Tai Guy's got a Twitter account. He was unapologetic to the Tribune's Paul Sullivan.
Talked to Mark Harmon on WGN.
Oh, really? Mai Tai Guy was on with
Harmon? He talked to him, yeah.
You know, I didn't see where I hit somebody. I didn't see where I got in the way. Maybe I did.
But he says, you guys know the rules. So if an adult male wrangles a baseball away from a little kid who's also reaching for it in the basket there in center left field, that's okay. If you're asking me what are the rules... And I'm asking you guys this. I would say the rules are you give it to the kid. You have two kids. What do you say?
You know what this is indicative of? This, I'm going to bring it back for a second. This is Mai Tai Guy or following the lead of Trump. I'm sorry to get too carried away here, but it's
yes,
this
you are.
Idea.
You are completely
no, I'm not.
Carried away.
Hold on a second.
This has nothing to
it
do
does.
With that.
And listen, hear me out before you pass judgment.
Okay.
The lesson of Trump is that you don't apologize. You double down. And that's what my thought. Of course he's wrong. Everybody in the world knows he's wrong. There's no doubt about it. You give it to a child.
That's a brilliant point.
You don't go
for it in the
first place.
I completely agree with you. Thank you for equating that to the president. Actually, you're onto something there. But I think, you know what the trap of that is? That every time somebody of their own volition behaves badly, there's this impulse to blame it on Donald Trump.
I'm not blaming it on Donald Trump. I'm saying that it's indicative of a...
Donald Trump did not influence this man's actions.
But it's indicative of a moment... and that maybe Trump is a symptom as well, in which the idea of admitting wrong is a sign of weakness.
You know where I think this does go? It's to the Naperville clerk at the gas station. I think that guy is empowered by an environment that it's okay to look at a minority and literally abuse them because their skin color is
different. I agree with that. And also, you mentioned this story earlier. We've said that he's been suspended by the gas station.
Yes.
Like, what?
We're waiting.
They suspended him? Like, what?
I think that's because it's hard to get somebody to work at Bucky's gas station in Naperville. That's why.
My analysis of Mai Tai guy, first of all, those little kids were not going to get that ball. It was too far from them. You look at that video, it was like out there. He went out, he reached beyond them. They weren't going to get it. He got it. It's his ball by rights. I think he really blew it by not giving them the ball right at that moment, because it would be a great feel-good story. Mai Tai guy is now a villain to half the public. And yeah, so he has a stupid baseball that's worth, what, $8?
Can you imagine being an adult and caring that much about possessing a baseball?
Well, but it was a walk-off home run, right? It was a very exciting moment.
Mai Tai guy is called Mai Tai guy because years ago when he started going to Wrigley Field, he realized that beers were only cheaper by a dollar than Mai Tais, but Mai Tais had twice as much alcohol in them.
That's true.
So that's why I started drinking.
That's all we need to know.
And now he wears it. So I don't think rules apply here.
But you know, it was a moment where could have been another feel-good story along with the guy from Florida who got the another story where you're like, oh, this guy, the Mai Tai guy, and he gave the ball. It's my ball, but now it's
he'd
your ball.
He'd probably get a bat out of it.
Your ball, then, guy.
Yeah, really.
Then, I'm against social media indignation. That's my new stance, and I will never change unless I do. We're so willing now to, you know, find people who we hate because of something.
What about podcast shaming?
Podcast shaming is fine, but you know, really, I just don't like it. Like we're like a gang traveling around looking for someone to beat up on, and then when we find someone safe, we all pile on.
You didn't have to look too hard at this guy.
We went after Alligator Bob. People started picking on Bob, the Bob volunteer guy, because he didn't catch the gator.
I was on Bob's side, but I'm also on the side of Mai Tai guy. For 24 hours, until he opened up a Twitter account and started to defend his actions. In the heat of the moment, I understand him celebrating his victory. Maybe he doesn't even see the kids.
Yes.
Now he finds out he's trending. Oh, my God, people are talking about me. And so he could have the next day went, oh, crap, I really behaved badly. Look at that video.
And a reunion with the kids on camera. He gives them the ball.
Instead, he took the Trumpian path.
Yeah.
One thing we are not dealing with this week is the fallout from the ICE raids. Remember the ones that were scheduled to take place on Sunday? As many as 2,000 undocumented migrants in this area were possibly going to be apprehended. ICE says that they're ready to do so, but so far haven't done anything. This debate remains, however. Should local media and governments counsel these non-citizens on how to avoid or fight their detention? Should the mayor be doing it? Should radio and TV stations and the newscast be saying, call this hotline to find out what your rights are to avoid detection, et cetera?
I have no problem with disseminating rights to people, letting them know what their rights are. I got no problem with that. I don't like
a lot of our listeners take exception with the way we've been talking about it.
I think people should know their rights and be able to exercise their rights. What's wrong with that? I don't like the idea that I saw some things on social media like how to disable an ICE vehicle and so on. I think that's not right. But
people who are not here legally.
Well, it's not that they're. I think the orders are of deportation against people who are criminal. They've been judged in court for committing crimes above and beyond being in the country illegally. I don't think they were just like grabbing people up and say, you don't have your papers. I don't think that's what's going on yet, but that's certainly where people see this going. But the orders that they're executing have to do with people who have had their day in court and who are not here. They're not just people who are here.
So you support the raids?
No, but I think people should know their rights, but I'm not as yet worked up about these particular raids.
Oh, I thought it was just another step down. We keep going.
Yes.
We just keep going down.
It's been going on for years, though, right? I mean,
Obama was the deporter in chief.
Yeah, I mean,
and built the cages.
Here's the difference, though. Obama deported criminals. Trump threatens to them to do that and apparently didn't. As far as the media, I mean, should Mayor Lightfoot come out and say against it? Absolutely, if she believes that. She's an elected official. She's a government leader. She should do that. Should the media be directing people where there are safe houses so that the criminals don't get caught? No. But I think Eric put it well. If they are advising people here of the rights that they are entitled to, I think that's well within the realm of what the media should be doing.
What do you think?
You would, as a newspaper, you would write an article about the travel app Waze, and you would say, here's a great app for knowing when the cops are coming to prevent you from getting caught speeding. Speeding is illegal. You're speeding. You would have gotten caught. The newspaper would clearly write an article about that. There would be no issue there. Why can't the newspaper is providing this service for people if it wants to do so? You can disagree with that. I have no problem with somebody disagreeing with it. But if a media, there's nothing illegal about the media.
They're not actually advising people to do something illegal. What you're talking about is a situation where it's like, well, go ahead and speed because if you have this app, you can know where the cops are. What the media is doing is saying, if someone knocks on your door, you don't have to open, you don't have to let them in. You don't have, unless they have a warrant. All the kind of basic things.
I don't understand how anybody could object to that.
But I do. John will explain why. Well,
but if this was came in the time, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. I'd rather not.
If this came in the days after the bombing at the Boston Marathon, and the media were saying, listen, if the police are looking for these bombers, come knocking on your door, your rights are, you don't have to answer, you don't have to, we'd be appalled by that.
A lot of people feel that as these people are not documented and or criminal, the last thing we need to do is help the bad guys
I apologize for not knowing the facts here. I need a definition of who we're talking about here.
I'm not 100% sure who they were going to go after per se, but I think...
Are we talking about somebody who's just committed a murder and the police are looking for somebody who just bombed an entire town?
Have committed no crimes, but they are not documented. The audience I'm talking about, and it's not a small population, don't think we should help them either. They're not here legally.
So they're against the idea of sanctuary cities to begin with.
Perhaps, sure.
I don't think that's what these raids...
But it makes it even more justifiable, Eric, if then you say no, but it's actually people who have had a day in court and are on the lam or whatever. I mean, all the more reason not to offer any information that helps them.
We don't know what these raids are because they were made up in a tweet. I'm sure ICE doesn't know what these raids are.
I'm not sure that anything has changed in terms of their attack. I mean, it's not like they have been deporting people all along. They get legal court orders to deport people who are here, and I believe that the standard is you have to have committed some other crimes. And it's not just jaywalking or have parking tickets. You have some serious crimes, and they want you out of the country. We're not yet at the point, but I think Trump is certainly threatening that when he talked about the first step in getting rid of millions of people, where they're going to say, hey, you know, you've been here for 15 years, and you've been working in construction, and you've got kids in school, and we're just going to come and pull you out of the house and throw you back to a country you haven't been to for almost two decades. That, I don't believe, is happening yet, but it certainly seems like it's on the way if Trump has his...
Right. If you are instructing people on how to know their rights, by definition, you would be instructing some people who have done nothing other than be in the country illegally, which for some might be enough, but you're also including people who have perhaps done horrific things. There's no way you could be like, hey, listen, if you've done something horrific, don't read this article.
This is not for you.
But that's like any issue. I mean, any issue. You can't not do it because of that. People should still know their rights, and there are going to be some people who you really do want caught. But it's just like the free speech argument.
I don't have a good answer to Steve's Boston Marathon bomber scenario. You're right. People would be freaking out. Justifiably so.
Right.
WGN were on the radio saying,
Steve,
look, if you're...
that would be like, you could be against capital punishment, and yet, hey, I'm okay that Osama bin Laden was killed. Like, there's always going to be things that mess with our minds that way.
Well, I'm a situational ethicist with the best of them. I think that's the sort of situation I'm in right now. Look, there's millions and millions of these people rounding up a couple thousand in Chicago and nine other cities. That was allegedly the plan. Is not going to do anything other than terrify a third of the population.
Which was the point, which is the whole, and the reason about the census.
Them knowing their rights is important.
Larry, I keep saying that. Mayor Lightfoot talked about this today. She said that there were no indications that there was anything unusual about the weekend as far as incarceration. She said, except I did have many people come put their head on my shoulders in tears. Because they were afraid. And I think that's the point. I think if the mayor or the president, other than the fearful tweet, if he had come out and said, we've identified 2,000 violent criminals who are here illegally, and we're going to be in a process of rounding them up and kicking them out of the country, I think he would have had support.
Essentially, that's what Obama did.
I would have supported that, but that's not what he said. That's not what he implied.
In fact, he implied far greater numbers.
We have just a few minutes left, so let's do this.
There's no show today, so you can...
Oh, we do have a few more minutes. You're not going to kick us out of the studio for your show?
There's White Sox baseball coming on, so...
I noticed that we weren't getting those nervous looks with people doing the slash mark across the window here, so we can actually...
Well, as long as it's entertaining and interesting,
thoughts.
We can continue.
You might not like these ideas anyway. In fact, this is one we've done a million times, and I'm not even sure we need to do it for more than a minute, but... Jesse Jackson's junior and senior have sent a letter to the president saying Rod Blagojevich ought to be released from jail.
Pardoned. They want him to be pardoned.
They want him to get full pardon, and they want him to be released.
Well, of course,
I guess that's the same thing. But Jesse, if you're listening to this, junior, because I like you, and I wish you well. I read your book with your mom, and you both were delightful in the studio.
You read it alongside his mom, or the book was...
Jesse, don't pick this horse. There's no upside for this. What are you doing? If you're trying to get back in the game or in the news, this is not the way to do it.
First of all, the idea of a pardon for Blagojevich is just appalling, because...
Do you want me to read from their letter?
A pardon means basically we're saying you never did anything wrong. There's a much better case, and it's debatable, and I feel some different ways about it, that his sentence is too long.
I do feel
And that he's been there for, what, he's been in 7 years now, that he's paid his debt to society, and I've always said if he would have just agreed to leave prison and not say another word and go and, you know, I don't know what he would do, but you know that he's going to be coming out and chirping about his innocence, and that will stick in my craw. But the Jackson family, especially Junior, I mean, Junior spent time in prison himself. I
and he was sort of wrapped up in this one.
And I don't think Jesse Senior is, yes, he was sort of wrapped up in this one, exactly. And Jesse Senior, I don't think, is any friend of Trump's. And if you look at what
he's not at all.
So I'm not sure that this is something that's going to help.
So I don't know. I'm flabbergasted as to why.
Are we sure the letter's real?
Well, Jackson, Blagojevich, when he was a congressman, traveled with Jesse Jackson to
Serbia, wasn't it?
With Serbia. It was Blagojevich's heritage, I think, when there were some Americans being held, or an American. I don't remember the particulars, but... Blagojevich writes about it in his book, and they were able to secure the release. So they did have that bonding mission there.
Yeah. What was the other thing I was going to mention to you guys? 50 years ago today, as we speak, 3 astronauts were on their way to the moon. America's remembering Apollo 11 this week. Where were you? What do you remember? Do you think we should go back? Stuff like that. I find myself being surprisingly nostalgic about this and impressed with what they were able to
do. Should we go back? I'd love to go back 50 years, yes.
Do it all again.
To the moon. I mean, you know, really, if you read the books about it, I haven't, but I read a lengthy review of a bunch of books about it. And they say that America was not united behind this. Certainly, you know, minority Americans weren't. And even at the time, a lot of people said, I'm not sure we need to be spending this amount of money to hurry up and get to the moon.
Speaking of that, I've always loved some of the black music that came out not that long after the moon landing, Sun Ra, the jazz musician, and then Parliament and Funkadelic, which imagined black people in space in a very psychedelic, funky way, which seemed both a criticism of an implicit criticism of the money that was being spent on space exploration, and also just a good time. That said, I was not alive, but reading about it has been honestly inspiring. To me, it seems like it was one of those times when you could set a long-term mission to do something, accomplish it, and some of the scientific discoveries that have come out of it are undeniable.
It is amazing, however, that we have not really been back since. I mean, we had a couple of missions up there, but that when this happened, if you remember, and I was a kid, so, but I just remember everyone thinking, like, this is a prelude to these space stations where people would go, like in 2001, where
Pan Am would fly there,
vacation up there, and we'd go to Mars, and this was just the beginning. And really, it kind of stopped. We put a rover onto Mars, but we haven't had any. And we've sent.
Well, you had the shuttle program. I mean, that was pretty extensive for about 20 years,
right? And some of the discoveries about with the Hubble and so on have been amazing, but they have not. We have not really gone to the frontier of space as pioneers the way we were.
And how much of it do you attribute to competition, that it was beat the Russians?
It was a 100%. Measure of the Russians.
100%. I mean, really, there's no reason to go to space at all except to launch satellites so we have better apps. We're not going to civilize the moon. We're not going to live on Mars. We're not going to live anywhere else but on Earth. So dollars spent doing that, unless they make life better on Earth, and demonstrably so, like tell me that going to Mars will make life better on Earth, are dollars we don't need to be spending now.
So you asked what we remembered from the time, and I grew up in a very small town, farm town, and I remember, I think, watching it on the black and white TV. But the most striking memory I have is weird, but a lot of my relatives lived in the country. They were rural, and you had to come into town. The newspaper, the Kankakee Daily Journal, would be mailed to you or brought to the post office the next day. So to get the daily paper, you had to drive into town to the post office to get the day before's version. Sounds kind of weird. But I remember being with my aunt and going to pick up the pictures and seeing the front page color pictures of the man on the moon the day after it happened.
Yeah, right.
Which just speaks to a different life in so many different ways.
But you know, how remarkable it was, too, if the technology was that antiquated, say, with the newspaper industry, and yet they walked on the moon.
Not to bring what is a remarkable feat down here in terms of the discussion, but for you, the space, your memory of space from childhood is that landing, and that's remarkable and beautiful. For me, it's the Challenger explosion.
Right. Well,
that's the space I grew up with.
Really,
which is funny because there was a Gemini. Was it a Gemini mission where
Apollo was one of the early
Gus Grissom and others were killed?
Yes.
And that's not in that, and that's a different time. That's probably not that it was whitewashed, but it wasn't in front of us day after day, hour after hour.
There was a video of it.
Yeah, exactly. Too, remember the successes of it. That's a good point.
In your newscast, you referred to the alleged moon landing.
This is the day.
The racist moon landing.
This is the day many say we landed on the moon.
Mary Schmeek, we should post the link to Mary Schmeek's column about it, because she said as we get older, we get a little wiser and more nostalgic. And what Mary wrote about this was really nice, too. So shout out to you, Mary Schmeek. Okay, anything else you guys think that we absolutely need to cover now that we've eaten up all of this extra free time?
See,
from Steve Bertrand?
It's 7 minutes. You bitch every week about having to leave the studio, and 7 minutes more and you're done.
Oh, yeah. Can I just ask you guys, have you used that? Are you have any interest in that new face app that will age you? That's built by Russians, by the way, so they'll have pictures of all of us Americans, but... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right? There is some concern that when you do sign up for it, it does get a lot of your data. It gets all access to all your photos and some other things.
It doesn't, though.
Oh, God. Bertrand is showing
I believe it. I believe it.
So Bertrand takes a picture of himself and then ages himself as though he's not doing that already. And I'm like, I have no desire. Every day I look in the mirror, I go, oh, it's happening.
So I did it for John. You want to see what he looks like?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't do it.
Did you do one for your wife? I know buddies who've done that for their wife. Go, yeah, I'm not going to show her that.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. Don't show it to your parents. Don't show it to anybody.
I look like 98%, honestly, of my dad.
Yeah.
I absolutely look like my dad. I just think it's interesting because, the Russians don't know my dad, as far as I know.
On another radio station, though, I thought this was a really good idea. They had a conversation about this. I believe it was Dave Kaplan's show, so there's one for you, Cap. And they said what you should do is make an app that says, if you go on this diet and workout regimen, here's what you could also look like. And it would thin you, and it would make you look more vibrant and healthy. And I'll just make it my
your avatar.
I'll make it my picture.
I think it's called a concave mirror, isn't it?
That will be my motivation. But the idea that, look, you're going to be this old, gnarled guy is not appealing to me at all.
It looks like it does a pretty good job, though.
I think it does. And I was pretty impressed with it.
Do it to your kids, right?
We did. My kids did it.
Yeah. And did they look like you then?
No, my son did it, and he's 21, so he got a version of him that was probably 40. He didn't look so much like me, no.
The pictures of my son...
Do you look like the milkman?
And my and my dad.
The extra time is over.
At the same age, you're the same.
I'm too superstitious to do it.
Really?
I don't want to do it. Because what if I don't make it that long?
Wow. Well, now there's a hot take I didn't anticipate.
Yeah, you did from me.
No. Yeah, really, you are a little morbid. Thank you, Mark Baser. Thank you, Eric.
What about
Zorn.
Recommendations? Don't you do recommendations?
We don't. We don't
That's
have enough
done.
Time.
What do you mean?
We're
I had
getting,
all the time in the world.
No, well, this one time, I forgot we're going to have this studio. We're always getting kicked out, and I've been
I get the feeling that Mark
wrestling.
Has a, I get the feeling Mark has a recommendation.
I do. I do have a I thought we had one, so I planned one.
So let's let Mark do his recommendation.
All right. I'm going to do it, because we have the time. There's a book I just read, which I just thought was the best book I've read in a few years, which is These Truths by Jill Lepore. It's a history of the United States, which falls somewhere in between the history text we all grew up with in high school and maybe Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States, which was all about how everything we've done is awful and bad. And I've long been looking for a book that kind of found that middle ground. And it These Truths, the title is These Things, These Ideals That We Hold Up as Where We Want to Be and Who We Want to Be as a Country, and how we've wrestled with them over the course of history. And it just really, when we speak about these issues now, issues of race, issues of economics, it was really enlightening to go back and see how many of these issues, A, of course, aren't new, but B, how we got to where we are now.
You know, and I said, if you read the books about the Apollo program, I haven't, but I read a review of the books. It was Jill's review in the New York Times Sunday edition 2 weeks ago. So she read them all, and she's the one that sort of put that in that perspective. She is a great writer.
That's another thing. It's so beautifully written, and I'd recommend it.
Yeah. Okay.
Also,
we're done with recommendations.
Oh, okay. Just one per person.
No, I mean, I was also going to. I like Slush Puppy. You know, slushes in the summertime. I like.
that is why we stopped doing the recommendations.
No, it was nice.
Toy Story 4, I thought, was pretty good.
Well, if we're going to do that, I wish people would go see Yesterday.
Oh, have you seen that?
I love that movie, and there's a particular scene in it that I'm just dying to talk with people about. I exclaimed and then started crying
at
the theater, and I haven't found anyone else to talk to about it. So please,
I'll go see
go
it.
See Yesterday.
Talk about it next week. Yeah. By the way, I've read this really good book. It's called The Fastest Man in the World.
I can't get into that.
I gave it to Steve Bertrand. It's about a guy named Major Taylor who in 1900 was the fastest man in the world on a bicycle. Did I tell you guys this? That in the 1890 to 1900 or 1900 to 1910, in that little window, one-third of all of the patents filed in the United States were about the bicycle.
Huh.
It was the most important thing in the world. It really paved the roads in America, literally and figuratively. The reason we have roads wasn't in anticipation of the automobile, although they quickly supplanted the bicycle, but it was because folks were riding bicycles. Mankind had never been able to propel himself on his own that quickly. Think about it. There were no motorcycles. There were no cars. There were no airplanes. You could have a horse and you could get on a train. But the idea that you would personally locomote yourself wherever you wanted as quickly as you could go was a fascinating concept. So they opened up velodromes and had bicycle races all around the country. And it's about that. And in telling you that story about the fastest man in the world, an African-American, you learn about how unbelievable racism was in this time in the country. And if you'd get past page 10, you would appreciate
I'm almost there.
Yeah. It's a good book. Eric, do you have a recommendation? We're not doing them.
I guess we're not doing them, but I've been watching Catastrophe. Chernobyl. What did I say?
Oh, Chernobyl.
I did watch Catastrophe, and it's a different show. No, I'm talking about
different
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl is the best show of the year.
Chernobyl. Really, really good. And
that's
and
great.
The podcast.
Emmy nominees, too.
Yeah, and Peter Sagal hosts the podcast that they talk to the producer of the show after each
episode. And that podcast is called?
I think this is called the Chernobyl podcast.
Okay. All right. Do you say Chernobyl or Chernobyl?
Chernobyl.
Yeah, everybody says that.
There's one person I know who says Chernobyl.
I heard
he was
that.
Corrected
and
the other
he's
day
asking
on the radio.
Everybody else.
Moi. Okay. We're done. Thank you, Eric Zorn.
I think we've proven that 45 minutes is plenty.
I think it's too long. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Mark Baser, for coming
in. Thanks for
in.
Having me.
And Steve Bertrand. We were produced by Ashley Byhoon this week. L.F. Garris, our normal producer, is away. I'm John Williams. Thanks for tuning in. You're still listening, right? We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can now also follow us on Spotify, or you can keep listening online at WGNradio.com. Plus, catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.